Hey, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of the Strand Tennis Center podcast, filled with tips, advice, tennis, not tennis, just life advice, too, whatever you need. Like it on YouTube. Share it on the podcast as well. Thank you.
But welcome to the Strand Tennis Center podcast. But I was going to start this interview one way, but Coach Vinny from Summit, we're doing our preseason kind of interviews here. We had Del Barton in here. Head coach John Thompson. We've had Coach James Kai in here. Now we have Coach Vinny. Pronounce the last name properly.
Tutoriello.
Even though I'm an Italiano, I should know how to do that, but I didn't do it. Tutoriello. So we are beginning our process, but which was interesting, we have pickleball behind us. Coach had mentioned years ago when he was a phys ed teacher. When was pickleball introduced? 60 something, you were saying, when you were doing it?
Well, I started in Scotch Play in 78, so it had to be like, you know, late 70s, early 80s. I remember, you know, the phys ed teacher was Candy Pantano, and she brought it into Scotch Plains, and, you know, they were playing it in their phys ed classes. Yes.
They were, and that was it. It was just a phys ed class.
Kids loved it.
The kids loved it.
Yeah, the kids loved it. Well, and think about it, those are your 30 and 40 year olds now that are playing it outside and, you know.
I didn't know that, and that's great that people were trying it in phys ed classes. I thought, and again, everybody thinks it's this new sport. We were talking, it was started in the 60s and things like that, but I thought it's got to get into school systems. I didn't know phys ed teachers were already experimenting.
If you look around, I mean, you could see every week, there's like, it seems like a new derivative of pickleball.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're playing with smaller tennis rackets, or they're playing with the net a little bit higher, but it's more like tennis. So you can see it.
How about padel? You know, the kind of, what was that, the Latin American sport? I see some of the Formula One's drivers playing it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big Miami sport. I mean, I can't keep track of all the racket sports these days. But I'm so glad to have you here. It is Wednesday, middle of March, before the season's getting rolling. Practice has begun. What are your thoughts on the upcoming season? Just kind of an overview first of your squad and you know, and then we'll talk about, you know, players and why they play and why they don't play. But what do you think of your overall squad this year?
I think most people will be very excited to have the team I have. I have six returning starters, which obviously, you know, the experience should definitely pay off. I'm hoping that they could build on that. One excellent freshman came in this year, Ben Levkoff, and he's shown a lot of consistency and poise on the tennis court, so I don't think he's going to play like a freshman. He's going to play like an experienced player that he is. So I like our chances. I think we're in good shape.
Yeah, we've had the pleasure of having Ben play here at times too. He's very, very. He's played a lot of matches, so he's done a lot of road work. So he's very experienced, despite him being so young. When you play a lot of matches like that, when you get match tough, it's very, very big than getting kind of drill ready and say, all right, I've played some drills. But do you play a lot of matches like that? Because he's been weekends going to different matches all over the place, and that's big. I mean, there's a couple other good freshmen too. I know Henry Deutsch is pretty good because he plays here. He's a good lefty. And your first preseason match is Mendham, you said.
First scrimmage is tomorrow against Mendham.
So do you think, county-wise, state-wise, where do you think you have any idea where you think you match up?
In the county, I mean, I don't want to slight anybody, but obviously Westfield's always been such a dominant force over the last, who knows, maybe 30, 40 years. Yeah. I can't even go back as far as what I remember. But they're a tennis powerhouse. Everybody knows that. But, you know, we matched up against them. We came close last year against them, and I think, you know, seeing what they have and seeing what we have, I like our chances.
We're doing a part two. This kind of preseason has been more about your coaching history and why you got into coaching and how it happened, and just being getting into the physical education program. Did you always want to be a coach? Did you always want, like, when you started this whole thing years ago?
And to set the record straight, I wasn't a phys ed teacher.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
I was fine arts.
Oh, you were fine arts. You're right. You're right. I'm so sorry.
When I was in front of a jazz ensemble or, you know, whatever, we did a lot of competitions. And I always remember, you know, one of the comments some of the judges used to make, they said, well, you know, your band, your ensemble, whatever, it plays with a level of athleticism, which we're not used to seeing. Like, it's like they're very competitive with the way they play. Now, some people would say, well, they were enjoying the music, or the nuances of music, but they were really playing for a score. And I used to emphasize that, like, you know, we're getting judged. This is, you know, you want the big trophy, you want the little trophy. How much you want to work for it, you know?
So I don't want to interrupt, but it just makes me think. So can you give me an example of how they were athletic as they played? Was it very much like a team? Were they high-fiving each other? Like, how was that kind of portrayed in regards to them getting prepared and
exactly
afterwards?
Exactly what you just said, that they were a team. They took ownership of the ensemble. As somebody said, you know, what do you do besides count to four and move out of the way? You know, I mean, in some ways, that's really what it came down to. And I remember in my later years, I even said to them, listen, if you guys want to be notarized, you guys want to really stand out, the next few competitions we go into, you're going to memorize your music. We're going to go out there with no music. We're just going to play. And, you know, they were like, are you kidding? Well, I remember, you know, we're rehearsing, and they're playing, and I shut the lights off on them. And they continued to play. Then they put them back on. I says, well, I guess you don't need your music because you couldn't see it in the dark. Yeah. I says, so the next few competitions, we're going out on stage. We're going to tell the people that, you know, just take those stands away. We're just going to play. And it just lit, you know, the judges were like, this is unbelievable. We've never seen them. But, again, it's being competitive. I wanted to win. They wanted to win. And that's what it was about.
Now, how did you translate that? Were you competitive in sports as a kid or competitive in music as a kid the same way? Like, how did you become that type of coach?
Yeah, no, I was more, I when I first went to college, I was going to be a phys ed major. And try and play basketball at Jersey City State. That was my number one sport. And then, for whatever reason, somebody got hold of me and said, "Listen, you can't just throw this music career away. You got to, you know, you can still play." And anyway, as it turns out, you know, the athletic part of me playing for Belleville High School and playing sports in the town of Belleville. I mean, you know, we had a team for every sport. I don't care if it was football, baseball, basketball. We were playing against other people in the town or in you know, in other communities all the time. So, yeah, I have to say that just transpired over and then got involved in tennis later years with my own daughters.
Now, did you got involved in tennis in your later years with your daughters, you said. Now, how did it translate then to you? How did the maturation of you becoming the Summit coach if you were... Yeah, I'm just curious about that. I don't even talk about the creation story.
Well, it comes down to Pete Tierney.
Yeah.
And, you know, God rest his soul. Pete passed away not too long ago. But anyway, Pete had three daughters. I have three daughters. When my three daughters were coming through, and Felicia's my oldest, Pete and I both belonged to the Berkeley Heights Tennis League.
Okay.
So, and we got familiar, friendly with each other again because we also knew each other from basketball. I used to go to camps. Pete was one of the clinicians. So he said to me, listen, anytime your daughter wants to train, rather than train with you as always, tell her to come hit with me. And that's kind of how it portrayed. And then when his three daughters were ready, because they were younger, he said the same thing. Why don't you call Mr. T, and why don't you work out with him today versus always working out with your father?
Yeah, sure.
And then he brought me into the Summit, you know, program when he needed help.
Huh. That's a great story. When you started, whether being a teacher, fine arts, and then starting to coach, was there any kind of references or any kind of material that you went back to? Did you read any books? Did you say, hey, I want to be a better coach, or I want to learn more? Was it just, at this point, was it just taking in videos and information online? Or did you, even when you were younger, did you say, hey, there's this... If there's any book anybody should read or something they should take in, this is what you should probably do in regards to...
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've read, let's call it sports stories books. I've read books on... I'm a Green Bay Packers fan, so I read books on Vince Lombardi as you know, the legendary coach, Jimmy Valvano. But I have to say that, you know, just even observing, call it experienced coaches, whether it's, you know, George at Westfield, whether it's John at Del Barton, not... You know, James, help me out, Chatham. I mean, you know, there are enough coaches out there that I was like, okay, why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? There was Bob McNutt that I followed from, you know, also in Summit, and as well as, you know, Pete Tierney. So I think if you show the kids you care, you show them you respect them, the feeling is mutual, and it usually builds a good camaraderie between a coach and the players.
Well, I've learned a ton coaching just being on a court next to somebody else coaching, too. You just start to, oh, but that's a great idea. That's a great concept or a perspective you wouldn't usually see, and that's big. That's why reading, taking in information is huge, because you just get stuck sometimes in your own perspective and go, oh, I'm going to, and then all of a sudden a line in a book or somebody says something and it just changes how you see something and you go, oh, maybe I'm taking this the wrong tact at this and I should look at this from another angle, which is huge. So speaking of players and your team and communicating with them, we were talking before off camera, how do you manage that? How do you, and I was talking to Coach John about this, with players that want to play in tournaments and play USTAs or they want to do this, and they, what's the balance between showing respect for the team as the student and you trying to transmit that and understanding that it is what it is. Unfortunately, tennis on the high school level, there's more value for a better player to play outside of it than to play with it. You're not going to not play basketball. You're not going to do those. Even if you're an elite athlete, you're still going to play basketball in high school because it's just, it's just, I don't know, for lack of a better, it is what it is. I mean, how do you balance that?
Well, I think if you're consistent as a coach, because, you know, you're going to have all different levels of players coming out for your team, you know, and obviously, you know, I have Jonah as my number one. So, I mean, he clearly hits, let's say, stronger than my number 8 or 9 player. So he's not going to benefit too much by just working out with an 8 or 9 player. So if I said to him, Jonah, listen, you know, or anybody in the top three, like, you know, just go ahead, take lessons with your coach, do it, and just show up for a match. Well, that ain't going to work, you know, and that's not being part of the team anyway.
Yeah.
And also it's part of what they can bring to the younger players. You know, if you're building a program, that's what I think it's all about. If you're trying to create good people, like, and that's a good word, like if you're just trying to get a good athlete, they're all great athletes. I mean, but if you're really trying to make them into good people, and, you know, like, talk about legendary coaches, like Lou Holtz said, hey, when I wake up, how hard is it just to do the right thing?
Yeah.
If you can convince those kids, you're here, just do the right thing.
It's hard. It's hard for these kids, too. And it seems so simple. And Holtz's book is great. It seems so simple, but it really is hard for these kids because, I, you know, like we were talking about, you get pulled and pressured from entities and you feel like, and then maybe you wish, you know, the parents would tap them on the shoulder and say, you know, this may not be the right thing. Because it's hard in the tennis world, and we won't be specific, because there's a lot of things pulling at you. There's programs that they say we have these great people for you to play, and I think both. I don't think it should be one or the other, because, like we said, 99.99% of the students or student-athletes out there are not going to be professional. You really have to look at that, and if you don't look at it that way, you're going to kind of make some decisions that are really not even 1% decision or you know, beyond that. And you got to, and whether it's from the coach or from the parent, to be able to tell them, look, this may not be the best decision for you. You may not be happy about it, but like reading, if you ever read the book, The Defining Decade, which is a great book about kids in their 20s, and it says, you know, basically the frontal lobe takes another 10 years to develop in that time frame. They're still developing. And it just says you shouldn't check out on life like a lot of kids have been doing and say, I just want to take a Europass and travel around the world. You should be training, working, doing things that are reality-based, but don't make any super serious decisions when you're 21, 22, 25. So they had a great study saying most relationships that stay together is when they just don't live together, is when they make a commitment to say, okay, we're going to be engaged and we're going to live together. And then that creates a reality of seriousness. It's almost like practicing to be an adult. So you need to do that. And it's almost like those decisions for those kids, you need to help them practice them because their brain just doesn't understand consequence yet. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. How do you try to reason with a kid that you feel like is making a mistake?
Okay, well, I know where you're going with this one, but we're not going to mention names.
Yeah,
I think you can say it. you can give them reasons why their decision is really not a good decision. You can give them examples of players that have played for you that they would relate to. And, you know, it just comes to mind, you know, any of the McDonald brothers that played. I mean, yeah, probably the most talented in a long time to come through, you know, Summit High School. I mean, they could easily said, you know, Brendan is, you know, could have easily said his last 2 years, listen, I'm not going to play high school tennis. I'm just going to go to Florida. I'm going to play tournaments. I'm going to, you know, and he still would have been in a, you know, a good college and could still play college tennis.
Yeah.
And he, you know, again, he chose to be part of the high school team. And hopefully, you know, when people relate back to that, because, you know, I mean, that's 4 years. You, as a freshman, you see that. So you would think, all right, so there's no reason why I can't play high school tennis and still train at the Strand or wherever else they're going to train and still learn from different pros, yeah, and still play tournaments.
Yeah. I mean, some of my best memories were playing high school tennis. I mean, I played in college, but if you popped it right in my head, probably some of the best memories are the high school ones. I don't know. I mean, because maybe we were a little bit more successful, but it was just so much more of a smaller unit. You're on that bus together. If I said, listen, I'm not going to play senior year or junior year because I want to get attracted by college, I think it just been, I don't know, just, well.
Well, I look at it whatever. This way, too. I have lifetime friends from sports, you know, sports teams that I played on in high school with them that we still get together 3, 4, 5 mm-hmm. times a year. And, you know, of course, we always talk about the big game that we lost and what did you do? Why didn't you pass me the ball? You know, but I think about, like, you know, someone, you know, we were in a restaurant having dinner and someone says, wait, you guys were in high school together? Said, yeah. And you stayed for, I said, yeah, we've stayed friends. I mean, you know, and that's, to me, that's what's special. If that ever comes out of my tennis program, you know, I always joke about it that, you know, I can't wait till 20 years from now and you all have 12 kids and you have a barbecue at somebody's house and get together. But I think that would be special, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're making bonds, you're making friendships. I agree. You also coach the girls' team as well. Any distinct differences in how you coach both teams? Is there a different tact you have to take between girls and boys?
I think you got to be a little bit more patient with girls. I mean, as you know, I mean, plus I've had 3 daughters, and I still have 3 daughters. And I, you know, I coached softball many, many years also, which obviously is a female sport. And I, you know, I mean, maybe I got that patience of from doing it and coaching. But you know, the big difference I see is that we just said, like I'm sure when you played tennis, you could remember, not that you lost any matches, but you could remember the match you lost, probably the serve you could have put in, or maybe the volley at the net. If you had made that volley, you would have went up 6-4.
Don't bring up bad memories, Coach.
Okay. if you ask a girls' team, sometimes the same day we just played, you know, they're like, we lost. First of all, they might even say, we lost? I said, yeah, well, we lost 3-2 today. Oh, it was a good match. You know, I mean, they're just, that to me is special. Like,
that's
it's
good.
Like, it's, you know, even when they win, it's, I mean, they're happy they won.
Yeah.
But they're not going to tell you the score they won or, you know.
Good point. Good point. You had me thinking of something. Oh, so we're talking about the season. We're starting the season. I know it started a week later. I was talking to coaches. I would like it if they started even 1 week later so you have better weather. And we were discussing there's not many teams left at the end of the season if you're playing sectionals and states, so you still have time to study or do whatever you need to do. That March month is so difficult with weather. I mean, what are your thoughts on just starting even 1 week later?
I have no. I think that would be great. I mean, this is the first year I can remember in a while that we weren't chopping ice or putting snow in wheelbarrows and wheeling it off the courts. I mean, you name it. But I'll tell you what the county did really well this year, and I don't know if this is something they've done past years, but the county tournament is May 15, 16. So it's almost at the end of your
good,
season,
later,
which
later.
Means, you know, we've played everybody at least twice, yeah. So you really get an idea of seeding, which I think is going to be great.
Yeah, because I remember when we talk, it's like a week into the season, like counties are next week. I'm like, what is going on? It's so fast. It's good that they let them kind of get a feel, let them play a bit, let them get comfortable. I mean, that's huge. And then the states are right after then, right?
Yeah, it should actually the following week.
And I asked you this last time. What do you think of the fact that there's only sectional champs now and there's no tournament champions?
Well, in our section, we don't have to. I mean, we'll probably have six group three tennis teams in the top 20. You know, I mean, I don't have to name each one, but I'm just saying it's, you know, our division is so tough now that, you know, when we were group two, you know, we're only group two by, like, I think 40 students. Like, that's the difference between the highest group two and the smallest group three. But we got moved to group three, which should be a good competition for us. But it's going to be tough. It's going to, you know, and I have no problem with the, you know, far as just if you get second, you can win your group, but you can't win. There's no tournament of champions. Yeah.
I mean, I was just thinking it. They just want more winners. I wish there was one winner, but I to me, it's a different. It's just the state of the times, I guess. They want everybody wants to be a state champ, which I get, but I don't get at the same time. Right. What do you? I was talking when we were talking to Coach John Thompson at Del Barton about private schools and recruiting, and he did make a good observation that a lot of public schools are in the top 10. Is it because of the area we're in, because the school systems are so good at high school in these areas, public-wise?
I also think it's the reputation of the community. If I was sending my kid to a public school and I was moving to this area and they were involved in tennis, you know, Summit's a really good tennis program. New Providence for Group 1 has a, you know, not just because they're Group 1, but they have a consistent state champs at Group 1. They have a very good tennis program for a small school.
Yep.
So, I mean, I probably researched that a little bit. You know, where are the tennis programs? As far as Del Barton goes, I mean, you know, and I think this goes for any of the private schools. They don't even have to recruit as far as when you just look at the facilities and you just look at the school and you look at the education, the class size. I mean, you know. It's expensive, but, you know, I mean, if you have that kind of money to pay for high school, I think, you know, you're, like I say, your child will get a better education or a better, like, better chance of going to a bigger school, but, you can't compete against something like that. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, their facilities are gorgeous, and, they have a great reputation, which gives them, I think they were 23 in the country in athletics this past, I think, ranked 23. But, and then you don't have to really recruit because it creates such a network effect that people want to go there. But there's plenty of kids that played here at the Strand, not playing tennis there, but went to Stanford and went to Summit High School. So it's got a great reputation.
I have two players. You know, they all didn't come in with their college records yet, but, you know, one's going to University of Michigan and one's going to Wake Forest. Yeah. I mean, that's not too shabby.
Yeah, it's all good. Anything you would say to parents about the season, about the kids, about whether patience or, you know, because sometimes you get a wide range of parents. I know they're very supportive in Summit. I mean, how do you kind of translate a tough decision? Good decisions are easy. How do you translate that and say, listen, you know, I think your son is or daughter is JV and they're not varsity this year. I mean, how do you navigate that?
Well, it's always tough because, you know, having three daughters who all went through high school sports and, you know, I think I have a little bit more of an understanding. And sometimes they don't see the big picture, obviously. They see, rightfully so, their child, and how come their child's not playing whatever position they would want it to be in. But then maybe when they understand, well, the tournament goes in this direction. The reason I couldn't enter my third singles in the tournament is because my first singles didn't get in.
Yeah.
And you can't just call the state and say, well, I want to put my third in because she's has a good record or whatever, or he has a good record. So, you know, a lot of it is just letting them understand the program before them, you know, almost accusing you of something that...
Transparency and clarity and all that stuff, I
absolutely,
guess.
Absolutely, yeah, you know. But tennis is, if I show you your son record and I say, well, Steve, look, your son lost three matches in a row. I can't let him challenge for number one. Yeah. That's not the way the ladder works. Yeah. And they know that, you know, going in.
That's what's great. I mean, you either win or you lose, and that's it. Basketball's a little different. You can contribute and say, listen, I got 5 rebounds, 10 rebounds, and the team lost. I'm contributing. Why am I sitting today? You know, so that's it gets tough.
Also sends a message of, and they know this, is you have to be prepared. You know challenges are going to start, if not the first day of practice, as long as we get good weather, the second day. Don't tell me you haven't played in a month and a half, and, you know, you just took a lesson at the Strand, and you're not ready yet. Like, you know, you have to be prepared.
Happens way too much because I guess kids play all these different sports all the time, but There's always going to be a handful of kids that play one sport for the for the year, and there's just no way to compete with that. And you have to accept that, and it's when expectations don't match what you're doing that leads to such depression and disappointment. They have these expectations. Kids come up, they want to play varsity, and they haven't played for 6 months, and then they're disappointed and jealous that their friend made it when they played, you know, 3 days a week for 6 months. I mean, that's a sure sign of being depressed very quickly. Any other closing thoughts, Coach? Because I know you have to get off to practice today. Any words of advice for the student, for the kid, and words of advice for the parents?
Well, for any eighth graders, I was just talking to your
Santi,
and yes. You know, and also Kristen Side. You know, this goes for the girls too. Coming up, the more matches you can play right now, the more you could just get out and play. You know, when, again, my daughters played, there was no UTRs. So it was either USTA tournaments or you didn't play. But the more matches you could play, I think it definitely makes a difference than just, you know, the drills are important, the lessons are important. But then you have to apply to me what you've learned there. And let me see you do that in a match. Let me see you do that in a game. I think the more times, as it was explained to me, when I said, well, you know, how come so-and-so? Well, she's just so accurate. He goes, well, the only time she hit that 40-30 shot in her career so far, probably 100 more times than your daughter ever hit, you know. And I was like, oh, that makes sense, you know. I mean, so you have that type of experience, and then to be competitive, and I think for the parents, enjoy it, because those 4 years of high school go really quick, and the 4 years of college sometimes go even quicker. So enjoy watching your kid play and enjoy the experience. The more you can support them, the better. And patience all the way around.
Yeah, that's such a great point. We had a great time. Our son wrestled, and it was so much fun for 4 years, and I missed those times. Going to the matches, a lot of exciting stuff, and you know, of course there's things you got to pick them up at 2 in the morning, whatever, but you look back at them, those are great, exciting times, and you're right. Enjoy them, because they're gone, and then the kid is 40.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, now I'm enjoying it with my granddaughter.
Coach, it's always great to see you.
Yep.
Hopefully you'll give us time next year, next preseason, or preseason for the girls.
Okay, you got it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody. Answers in the action. Santi, keep moving. Thank you, guys.
Hey, everybody. Hope you liked the podcast. Please share it with your friends, anybody that you know, anybody that's into tennis, anybody that's into bettering themselves, share it.